Chapter 4, Please, No Empty Rooms. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. 1 Peter 4:19.
A friend asked me one time to imagine a scene in heaven. Suppose God said, David, I am about to give you a choice. You know that I am the God who inhabits eternity. Time is as nothing to me. I can do with it as I will. But in this one instance, I am going to give you the opportunity to go back in time and relive your life, if you so desire. David, look over there. As I look over to the spot he indicates, I see scores of people I met through my ordeal with cancer. Fellow patients in the hospital, former teammates, amputees now made whole, friends killed by cancer made alive and vigorous once more, but now sporting strong and incorruptible bodies. David, the Lord continues, these are the people who were touched in one way or another by your life and your story. Some came to know me through what happened to you. Others were encouraged to stay faithful to me when they saw how you dealt with your own battle against cancer. Still others were motivated by your story to get involved with people who were hurting in order to bring them some measure of relief. They will all bring glory to my name for eternity, and the suffering you bore on earth is partly responsible for putting them here. Now, David, I want you to look over here. And with that, he shows me another scene, one with far fewer people. I notice that some of the faces I had seen before are now not absent merely from the room, but from heaven itself. The few people I see are happy enough, but the room could hold far more than it does. It looks naked, and I do not like it. Lord, I ask, what is this place? This is the choice I told you about, David, the Lord responds. If you wish, I will turn back time and prevent you from getting cancer. You will suffer none of the pain, none of the anguish, none of the awful doubts or anxious moments you endured before. You will go on to a long and successful baseball career. Then you will retire and live out your days in luxury and perfect health. You will die at a ripe old age, but the room you see now is what will greet you when you get here. It is your decision. Which room do you choose? I am glad that this is merely a story and that no such choice awaits me. But even if it did, how could I choose the second room? Knowing what I do now, how could I ever go back to the way I lived before cancer invaded my life? Many people who hear my story think it's a tragedy. I don't feel that way at all. There is a scene in the movie Field of Dreams in which Ray Kinsella tracks down an old ballplayer named Moonlight Graham. Graham's career in the major leagues was so short it wasn't even a flash in the pan. He played only a few minutes of one game in the majors, and he never got a chance to bat. That was decades ago. Graham is an old man now. He had become a doctor and had given his life to alleviate what suffering he could in the small town where he lived. They talked about his experiences as a doctor, and then the conversation turned to baseball. Kinsella couldn't get over how short Graham's career had been. For 5 minutes, you were that close to your dream. It would kill some men to be that close to their dream and not to touch it. They'd consider it a tragedy. Graham looked him in the eye and with a wistful smile said, "Son, if I'd have been a doctor for only 5 minutes, now that would have been a tragedy." When I look back over the years since my amputation and see all I've learned from other people who have suffered, all I've experienced of other people's love, all God has shown me of His mercy and comfort, all the encouragement my small measure of suffering has given to others, I think to myself, if I'd have continued on as a baseball player and missed that, now that would have been a tragedy. I have learned that God is faithful, even in the midst of cancer. He is faithful even in the middle of amputation. He is faithful throughout the pain, the suffering, the doubts, the worries, the sleepless nights. When Peter tells us that those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good, I know it's outstanding advice. And who suffers according to God's will? You do, in some sense at least. If you're a Christian and your suffering is not as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. 1 Peter 4:15. Suffering comes for all sorts of reasons. We live in a fallen world, we make bad health choices, Satan afflicts us. God wants to use our suffering to glorify Him. Read John 9 to get a better take on that one. But in the end, if you're a believer, God wants to redeem your suffering and use it for good, somehow. He is a faithful Creator, so we must trust Him. We do not yet know how He plans to use our suffering to display His glory before a breathless universe, but we know that's what He's up to. And that's true whether we recover or we don't, whether we live or we die. We just don't know how such a faithful Creator will use our suffering for His glory. But He has said that He will. That is why we must continue to do good as long as we're here. My friend's illustration helps me to put things in perspective. I wouldn't have chosen any of the hardships that befell Jan and me, and I wasn't always the most stellar example of faith while I was enduring them. But God is faithful, and even now I can see how He has chosen to use the difficult circumstances of life for His glory and my benefit. I can honestly say today that I am grateful to have played some small part in it. But I do have one small request of the Lord. When I get to heaven, I don't want to see any empty rooms. Somehow, that just wouldn't be heaven. Dear Lord, sometimes I wish suffering weren't a part of the landscape of life. There is so much uncertainty, so many questions, and so few answers, that at times I do all that I can to avoid suffering. But now I find myself smack dab in the middle of it, and there seems to be nowhere to turn except to You. I thank You, Lord, that the Bible, Your Word, gives such incredible comfort in the midst of storms like this. Help me, Lord. Help me to hold on to those words of encouragement so that I may have the strength I need to endure this journey. I am so grateful for the many examples in Your Word of men and women who have suffered. I am grateful not only for them, but also for those who are suffering all around me who yet encourage me not to lose heart. Most important of all to me is that Your Son Jesus knew suffering more deeply than any of us, and yet He did not lose heart. Through His life, You have given me the strength to cope in the midst of the storm. You know, Lord, I'd like to say one more thing before I finish. Thanks for putting the warning sign up there that tells us we will suffer, that suffering is a part of life in this fallen world. But thanks also for allowing us, for allowing me, the freedom to express my fears about the future. For only when I do so am I able to realize my dependence upon the One who understands my suffering better than anyone. Because He did not lose heart when He suffered, I too can find the strength to live courageously in my own difficult circumstances. Amen.